You know, going over this message this week, it really struck me how easy it is for a good person to fall and to stumble. You know, some of you may have enjoyed some of the football games yesterday. Maybe not, depending on your team. You may enjoy some this afternoon. And almost in every single game, you're going to find situations where a big play could have been made, except for maybe someone's hand got in the way and tripped them up. Sometimes they don't even take a hand. They can just lose balance and fall over. You know, this morning, this message, really it's a warning. I hope and pray this morning for each of us out here that this will serve as a warning to us. The fire bells go off when there's a fire. Here in Arkansas, the sirens go off when tornadoes or storms are coming in. Well, this morning, I hope and pray that this will serve as a warning. A siren will go off in your heart, in your mind. And as we go through this message this morning, and we look at the passages we're going to look at, that we'll be able to not only notice what happened to David, but we'll be able to learn from it, and we'll guard ourselves as we go forward in our life. This morning, we're going to begin in 1 Samuel 27. That's where we're going to be. Now, we're going to look at three passages this morning for our 3 points. The title of this lesson is The Burden of Compromise. Compromise. So what is compromise? You know, the most basic definition of compromise is to give and take, is what compromise is, to give and take. So compromise is when you give up something in order to receive something. Now, the general definition of compromise, there's nothing wrong with compromise in and of itself. We compromise all the time, though it may not seem like it. You go grocery shopping next time, you're going to compromise. You're going to give some of your hard-earned money to get something in return. Maybe food, maybe clothing, but you're going to compromise. You know, in some cultures, there's a bartering system with shopping. In America, we don't have it as much as far as at grocery stores. I know in some locations, maybe at a flea market or garage sales, there's some bartering going on. But it's compromise. You give something and you take something, something in return. In business, there's compromise. There's always compromise. Give and take. That's just part of business. I was reading a while back that former President Ronald Reagan, he said that whenever he would enter a meeting or he'd go to some negotiations, that he always knew what he could give up and he always knew what he would not budge on. And then he'd go forward. You know, I think that's good. You see, he knew his limits. He knew what he would not give up. He knew what he would not compromise. Now, there's nothing wrong with compromise in general, so long as it's not with spiritual matters. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. You see, there's a line for believers that we cannot cross, or else we would be compromising. I think the first thing I think of is God's Word. We cannot compromise God's Word. It's not ours to compromise. It's God's. It's not ours to change. It's not ours to alter in any way. It's God's Word. So we cannot compromise God's Word. Also, we cannot compromise the teachings we find within this Word, the doctrines that are in place. And I also think we cannot compromise the convictions in our heart. You see, the Holy Spirit will take God's Word and then He'll work in your heart with that. And if we're as believers, we must make sure we don't compromise those convictions, that we know what we believe, we know why we believe it, and that we stick to it. We're not going to compromise. This morning, we're going to see that David knew what God had promised him. David knew what God had expected of him. And we're going to see that he made a mistake. He gave in to compromise. And this morning, we're going to look at 3 thoughts. We're going to look at the choice David made, because we're all given choices. David had a choice. We're going to look at the choice. Then we're going to look at his conduct, what resulted afterwards, how it changed the way he went into the world. And then finally, there's always consequences. Whenever you have a decision to make, there will always be a consequence. And we're going to look real quick at the consequences that David faced because of this compromise. So 1 Samuel 27 and verse 1. Notice it says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his 2 wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. We're going to stop there this morning, and we're going to look at David's choice. This is where we find. Now, up to this point, as far as David's life, he'd made some mistakes, But for the most part, he had remained faithful to God. He'd stuck it out. His life was, I tell you what, he faced a lot of troubles and trials. He'd been chased from the palace. He was nowhere near being king. He knew he was called to be king, but he was nowhere near the throne. And David, at this point in his life, the Bible tells us that he feared. He said, in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. I think David had hit a point where he believed all appeared hopeless. To God, that wasn't the case. You know, this morning, right up front, I want you to encourage you. When you make decisions and make choices, consider God in all those. You see, if we just consider what we see and what we think and what we understand, then we may have the wrong idea or may have the wrong perception. David looked at what he could see. He'd been living on the run. Saul had an army. David was in trouble. You know, what we know now, we can look at the big picture, and of course I know David didn't know this, and this is where he needed to live by faith. But what we know now is that God was preparing David. God had a plan for David. And David would sit on the throne when God was ready for him. And up to this point, God was preparing him for his work. So David had to live by faith, and he had to live one day at a time. That's one of the easiest phrases for a pastor to say, and I'll be the first to tell you, it's hard to live that way sometimes. By faith, one day at a time. Not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. Not sure of what's going to take place and how we're going to deal with it, but just trusting in the Lord. And that's what David needed to do. Here's what I think we find. We find a lack of faith. And it was due to David's discouragement. Notice his conclusion. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Now, where did David get this idea? It definitely wasn't from God. God didn't give him this. God didn't tell him, you're destined to fail. God nowhere told him this. No prophet arrived to tell him this. David concluded this because of the situation. Be careful of making decisions based on what you can see and the situation. You see, here's what David forgot. David forgot that God had already given him great victories. David had been anointed as king. David had defeated Goliath. David had overcome Saul's jealousy and Saul's bitterness. And throughout this entire time, David had been protected by God. He'd been preserved. Yes, life was rough, but guess what? He was still there. God had protected him. You know, this morning, let's never forget the blessings that God has given to us. You know, I don't know what's going on in your life, your personal life. That's between you and the Lord. But if you're saved here this morning, I can tell you this. Your eternal life is secure. Your sins are forgiven. The guilt's gone. God loves you. God cares for you. God's got a plan for you. Just hang in there. You know, David, at this point, concluded that Saul would slay him. I mean, a lack of faith. He had no proof of this. There's no evidence to base this on. In reality, God had divinely protected him many times. He felt like saying, now, I know, I'm not saying I'd be any better than David, but looking at the big picture, sometimes you feel like you wish you could be there and say, David, you forgot the day that God protected you from those spears that Saul launched at you, those javelins that he should have killed you with, but God protected you. You forget that Jonathan, Saul's own son, helped you escape, helped protect you. You forget all the times that God has blessed you. But you know, I think, like David, it's easy for us when we're in a trouble or a trial just to focus on the trouble or the trial. And I think that's what happened with David. And because he failed to look at the Lord, he failed to remember God's blessings, discouragement set in. And discouragement will set in when we focus on our problems instead of God. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter what you're called to do. You focus on your problems instead of focusing on God, then discouragement's bound to take over eventually. Because problems can be big. There are a lot of troubles in this world. David became discouraged, and it led to weak faith. So that was basically his dilemma. Now let's look at his decision. Now he makes a decision here. It says in verse 27, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. So he's discouraged, and now he makes a decision. I guess that should have been the first sign. Don't make any decisions on this while you're discouraged. Think things through. Wait a day or two. Emotional decisions can get us into trouble. And that's the first mistake David made. He made an emotional decision. While he was discouraged, he determined that he was going to go to the land of the Philistines. Now, out of all lands to pick, why would he pick the Philistines? I don't know. I imagine it was nearby. That's what it probably was. It was located nearby where he was. But it appears David never consulted the Lord in this matter. He never sought the Lord in prayer. He never asked God his direction. David just made a conclusion that he was going to die, so he decided, I'm going to go to the land of Philistines and protect myself. David's discouragement, notice this, his discouragement hindered his spiritual life. This morning, you focus on your problems, leads to discouragement, then it will hinder your spiritual life. It will cause you to make some decisions without seeking God. Now, this is the man that was after God's heart. This was the man that God had a plan for. And here we find him acting as if God did not even care for him. We find him acting as if God had no plan for his life. Yet we know that God had a plan laid out for him and that God was going to bless him greatly. Here's a warning for us. It's easy to become discouraged. And it's easy to make some poor decisions while we're discouraged and take our eyes off the Lord and make decisions based upon our situation instead of on God's guidance and God's direction. So David's problem determined his decision. I've been guilty of that. Problems determining our decision. Not going to God, just seeing the problem and making a decision. And that's what David did here. He didn't seek God's direction. He based it on this problem. And I think it was a mistake. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel 22, because I want you to notice a direction already given to David years earlier, that we find this direction was never rescinded. God never gave him any other direction concerning the land outside of this. 1 Samuel chapter 22, and it says here, and I'm just going to read verse 5, it says, "And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hareth." We find here this is when David was with his 400 men. His future was uncertain. He took care of his mom. He took care of his dad. He didn't know what to do. And God sent a prophet to him and said, you get back into the land of Judah. You don't go running around this world. You get back to where you belong. He was the future king of Israel, the future king of Judah. He didn't need to go running out somewhere else. And so the prophet said, you get back. And so David did. Well, nowhere in those chapters in between, we don't find anywhere where God sent another prophet telling David to leave or letting him know it was okay for you to leave Judah. It's okay for you to leave the land. So what we find basically is David chose to leave the land because he wanted to. This was his choice. He was discouraged. He was upset. He was probably afraid a little bit, uncertain about the future. And so he just decided, I'm going to go to the land of the Philistines and I'm going to seek their help. You know, compromise is dangerous because it appears harmless. That's why it's dangerous. That's why compromise, you know, I want to warn you, no matter how old you are this morning, compromise is dangerous because it appears to be harmless. It's no big deal. Think of David. David appeared, now by running to the land of the Philistines. Now, the Philistines had a powerful army. They were preparing for war with Israel. They had a powerful army, and by David running to them for help, it almost, from the outside looking in, it appeared to be a good decision. King Saul was chasing David. King Saul was mean. King Saul was acting wicked. And David, by running to the Philistines, would appear to be preserving his life. Now, we all would agree that it's good to take care of yourself. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Take care of what God has given. So, compromise can be dangerous because it appears to be correct. Now, here's the two problems, though, in this situation. David went without God's approval. That's the first problem. Even though it appears to be good, if it's done without God's approval, it's wrong. And the second problem is, it took David away from where God wanted him. God wanted him in the land of Judah. God wanted him to endure those trials. God wanted him to deal with those difficulties. God was preparing him, and David was going to leave the land where God would bless him. You see, that's the two problems that David had. You see, sometimes with compromise, we overlook the simple teachings of God just to get a decision we want. So beware of compromise this morning. Now let's look at his conduct. We find that he made a choice and he compromised. Now turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel 27. 1 Samuel 27. And we're in that same chapter. And we're just going to go on down to verse 8. It says, "And David and his men went up." Now he's in the Philistine land now. He went into the Philistine land. He's been accepted by the king. He's living with the Philistines. He's no longer in Judah. He's no longer in Israel. And it says in verse 8, "And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, Whither have you made a road today? And David said, Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, Lest they should tell on us, saying, Did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. Notice that compromise, what it leads to. Destruction and deception is what I want to talk to you about. We're going to talk about the future king of Israel, not acting like the future king of Israel is what we're going to talk about. That's the effect of compromise. It changed David's conduct, is what happened. You see, what we find is that David went and attacked. Now, these were countries that were pagan countries or countries that were not necessarily godly countries. And the Bible tells us that he utterly wiped them out. He didn't leave anybody alive. Complete destruction. Now, there is a possibility that God commanded David to do this, and we just don't find it in scriptures. There is that possibility. I want to put that out there. But the Bible nowhere tells us David was given this order or this command, and I truly believe that David acted out of his own desire and his own will. And here's the reason why, or several reasons why. He was already living in the land of the Philistines, already out of the country where God had told him to remain and stay and where God would bless him. And there are some who defend his actions. I've read some who defend his actions, and they say this. And here's the two facts they'll use. They'll say, well, the Amalekites were to be destroyed. And that's true. In 1 Samuel 15, Saul was given that order. The Amalekites were wicked, and they were sinful, and God had given the order to destroy them, wipe them out. And we know that Saul failed. He didn't obey God. He failed and didn't fulfill the direction that God had for him. And so they'll say, well, you know, the Amalekites deserve this. And then secondly, they'll say, well, and David is the next king, the future king. So David was just acting the way God would want him to act. There's a lot of justifying in that, is what that is. A lot of speculation. Here's some thoughts I'll give to you. First, yes, the Amalekites were to be destroyed. But that order was given to King Saul, who was still king of Israel at this time. David was not the reigning king at the moment. Yes, he was anointed, but he was not the king. That's the reason why David didn't slay Saul, you know, a few years earlier. Twice. He refused to slay Saul because he was the acting king, the reigning king. You see, that order was still to Saul. David was acting of his own will. And here's the second reason. I think here's the main reason. 1 Samuel 27, notice. Skip on down. I think we've read it there. Verse 11. Here's where we find David's motive. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, Lest they should tell on us. That's the reason why David had them all destroyed. Now, I'm going to give you a few thoughts on this. Yes, the Amalekites, some will say, well, that was just cruel, the Amalekites. The Amalekites should have been destroyed by King Saul. That was God's judgment upon the land. The fact that they weren't is God's grace that God didn't have them destroyed anytime sooner, and they should be thankful. You know, we don't deserve anything in this world. We're sinners that have rebelled against God. We should be thankful for every day we get. Every time we take a breath, we should be thankful that God has not only created us, but has allowed us to live in His world. What's happened is because of sin, we become proud and think we deserve this and we deserve that. And how can God do anything to anyone down here on earth? Well, He's God and we're sinners. We don't deserve that. So the Amalekites actually were blessed to have any extra time. That still does not excuse David. You see, it appears David did not allow anyone to live because he didn't want the news to come out of what he was doing and how he was acting. He didn't want Achish to find out what was taking place. Here in a minute we're going to talk about the deception. You see, David, I think, felt that the Philistines would see him as an enemy, would probably see him as a problem. You know what compromise does? It causes us to try to please people. Compromise causes us to do things to cover them up in order to make an impression on somebody. And that's what David did. He went out and his conduct was anything but righteous. His conduct was really personal, for personal gain. Now notice the deception. And we talked a little bit about this already, but the deception, it says here in verse 11, saying, Lest they should tell on us, saying, So did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. Now David, the Bible tells us that it gave us who he went out and fought against. In verse 8, the Geshurites, the Gezerites, Amalekites, for those nations were of old, the land as thou goest to Shur, even in the land of Egypt. And then we find that when he talked to Achish, he stands before the king, he gives a list of other tribes and other people. You know, people have tried to reason this out and tried to say, well, here's what I think happened. I think we got a man who went out and did what he wanted to do, and then he provided some deception, is what he did. He misinformed Achish, is what happened. He said he attacked these three other tribes located in southern Judah. Now, these three tribes that he claimed to have attacked, and maybe he did some fighting with them along the way, but the ones he claimed to attack were tribes that were located right next to Israel. So that way, I think he gave the impression to Achish that he was against Israel. That he was a good man for the Philistines now. You know what's sad? Is we find David acting like the world. That's what we find. You know, David had these people slain, and then he deceived the Philistine king, all so he could remain in a land that he was not supposed to be in to begin with. Is that confusing? Yeah. But that's what compromise does. It's confusing. It confuses us. So we began to act in ways that we would not normally act. Now think about this. Compromise will affect your perception of right and wrong. David, the man after God's own heart, became destructive and deceptive. Later, he would destroy nations under God's orders and God's directions. Now he's destroying them because I think that's what he thought was best for him at the moment. And so he became destructive and deceptive. And you know what? I think we find him acting just like the world. He was acting no different than those Philistine kings he was hanging out with. Everything was done for personal gain. Everything was done for appearance's sake. So the Philistines would accept him and think of him as being a good person. He conquered and he lied for personal gain. And compromise will cause us to do things we would not normally do. Change our conduct. Now, nobody here this morning may go out and wipe out a nation. That's because we don't have the same responsibilities or same position that David had. Think about that. But compromise will, if we're not careful, cause us, where we are, to make some poor decisions. You see, it'll affect our perception of right and wrong. What we know as wrong may be okay under certain circumstances once we compromise. Once we compromise, we say, well, it's not so bad after all. It's not a big deal. Let me give you some examples. You know, there are pastors today that have compromised the truth. And they have softened their messages to please people or to gain crowds. And they'll say, well, it's not bad because people are coming. Well, you can pack a house, but if you're not providing truth, it's still not good. How about this? There are students that have been good students, honest students, that under temptation have cheated to pass an exam. They may say, well, I passed. Well, yeah, you passed, but you compromised. Here's another one. There's business people that have compromised their integrity to further their career, personal gain. Well, it's just something little. I just did it once. Nobody else saw it. Well, God's paying attention. That's compromise. We need to be careful of compromise because it makes wrong appear to be right. You know, the Bible says there are some things that are wrong. The Bible says there are definitely some no's. We should not do this. Thou shalt not do this. Or abstain from it. Or get away from it. You know, the longer you live in the world, the more the world will look correct. You see, the world will say yes, the Bible will say no, and if you compromise and live in the world, the longer you're in the world, the more that it'll appear to be okay. That's because you're around it. That's why I think David began to act like the world, because he was around worldly people. He was no longer around people of God. He was around the Philistines. And they, I'm sure, were very arrogant, very proud, very wicked, very selfish, and he began to act like those people and began to make decisions like they would. So our warning this morning is to be careful. Even in little areas of going into the world, remain in God's Word. Be faithful to the teachings of God. Here's another one. Compromise will affect your passion for God. You know, I think it's interesting. David wrote many psalms. David was a musician. Yet there are some times in David's life where we find no psalms written. We find no music. This is one of those times. Now, he wrote afterwards about trials and troubles, but during the time there was nothing. I think it's because compromise will pull us away from God, is what it will do. You know, you begin to go into the world even a little bit at a time, eventually it'll take away your attention, it'll take away your thoughts, it'll take away your energy, it'll take away your faithfulness, until it's to the point where everything's taken and you're sitting in the world instead of where you should be. And I think that's what happened to David. You see, our passion for God may be removed when we compromise. We may no longer pray like we used to. We may no longer read or study the Bible like we once did. We may no longer witness or look to witness to friends or family or co-workers. We may no longer serve the Lord like we once used to. And why is that? It's because we let a little bit of the world in. And we've lost the passion for God. You see, when it comes to compromise, the world and the devil don't want just a little bit. That's where they begin. They begin taking a little and then more and more and more. And next thing you know it, you're so far away, kind of like David, it's difficult to get back. And that's what happened with David. So compromise is dangerous because of the effects it may produce. Here's the third thought, the consequences. So we've seen David made a choice. It was a bad choice. We see his conduct has changed. Now let's look at the consequences. We're going to look at two passages. First, notice 1 Samuel 28. And we're going to just read one verse here, and then we're going to go to 1 Samuel 29. Verse 28 says, "And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men." Before we move on, here we have, I don't think David planned on this. But you know, when we compromise, we don't plan. We don't plan on the consequences. I don't think David planned on having to go to battle against Israel. But notice, that's what took place. The Philistines decided they're going to go to war. And what does Achish do? I could see him calling David into his office. I don't know if he had a big desk there or not. But he called him into his office, maybe into his tent, wherever he was at. And says, "Hey David, we're making plans to go to war with Israel." I can see him pointing his finger at David and saying, "You're going too." Uh-oh. Now what's David going to do? Compromise. That's what it led to. Notice 1 Samuel 29. "Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed on in the reward with Achish." We got a parade here of the Philistine armies. And who's in it? David and his men. Right where they're not supposed to be. Now, if they were sent on a mission, if God had sent them down there to create problems, that would have been fine. That would have been God's plan. But this wasn't God's plan for David. David compromised. Now, let's go back and think real quick before we move on. What led to this? Discouragement. He was afraid. That's all it was. Just in a moment, he made a bad decision, and now look where he finds himself. You know, it reminds me this morning of how powerful sin is once we compromise to it. I can tell you, I can guarantee you this. I could be wrong, but I've yet been wrong on this one. I don't think any alcoholic who has ruined their life planned on being an alcoholic to ruin their life. I don't think anyone planned on being a drug addict. When they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, as they're growing up, I don't think that was their plan in life. I don't think that was their parents' plan for them necessarily. Now, their parents, even in some cases, may not have cared, but they probably didn't plan for that to happen. But once you go into sin, once you compromise with the world just a little bit, it can be like that snowball effect. It can just take off. And next thing you know, it has a hold of you. And that's where we find David here. The Philistines are going to war. Here's his dilemma now. The Philistines have planned a war with Israel. David, now he's got a promotion here. He's doing well in the world. You know, just because you're doing well doesn't mean it's right. He's doing well in the world. He's been promoted to the royal guard. The Bible says he's in the reward. In other words, he's next to the king, Achish, one of the kings of the Philistines. There are five. He's next to one of them as his bodyguard, as maybe a, I guess you'd say, like an assistant there. So David's been promoted. He's been a good worker. And he finds himself back there, and compromise placed him under the authority of a Philistine king. You ever thought about that? The king of Israel, the next king of Israel, is now under the authority of a Philistine king. You know, I imagine if you would have told David this the day after he beat Goliath, if you would have told David this was his future, he would have disagreed with you. He said, no way would that ever happen. I would never go to the land of the Philistines. I would never side with the Philistines. I could hear a young David saying, I'd die before that would happen. I could hear a young David saying that, a very bold, very powerful, faithful man. Yet, in a moment of weakness, here he is. Here he is, underneath the authority of a Philistine king who is taking advantage of the situation. And the world will do that too, saying, you're going with me. You're not getting out of this one. Let's go. Now, here's what David found himself. He couldn't quit or retreat. Think about this. He couldn't just leave. He would have been labeled a coward. Now, that alone probably kept David there. You know, how many of you have? There's probably a lot of proud people here. No one's going to call me a coward. Now, David was a warrior. David was a conqueror. And I don't think David was going to run from anybody. Now, he fled from Saul. But that was because he was afraid of taking the king's life. He was afraid of what God would do with him. But I don't think David feared any man. So David would be labeled a coward. He'd be labeled a reproach. He probably would have been killed as a traitor if he would have tried to get away. Also, here's another thought. His ingratitude. Achish had taken care of him. You know what compromise will do? It'll produce some commitments that we're stuck with. Think about that. David had went to this man in his time of trouble, in his time of need. And what did this man do? Achish had been good to him, worldly speaking. He'd given him a place. He'd given him his own city. Ziklag was a city he gave to David and his men. He gave him a place. He gave him a position. He gave him abilities to go out and do what he wanted to do. And Achish had been a good man to him. And from all indications, Achish may have been just a good person as far as the world's concerned. A good person. Friendly. Nice. David now had a commitment in the world because of his compromise. So now he had to maintain his friendship with this king. Maintain his commitment, and so David couldn't just leave. He was stuck. Also, here's the other side. David couldn't fight against Israel. There's no way. Had David fought against Israel, now up to this point, I want to clarify compromise and rebellion. You know, rebellion is when you just go out against God. There's a lot of rebellious people in this world. They oppose God. They fight against God and His ways. Compromise is different. Believers can compromise. See, a compromise is not opposing God. Compromise is allowing a little bit of the world into our life to influence us. David had not opposed God, but had he went to war against Israel and against the king of Israel, I believe that's probably what would have happened. He would have been in direct opposition to God and God's land, God's people, God's army. He couldn't do that. He couldn't do that and expect to lead that nation later. So now he's in a bind. If he'd have done that, he'd have been considered a traitor. You know, if he would have done that, he may have been forced to do what he'd avoided twice, and that's taking Saul's life. So he couldn't go into battle. Now, David was in a fix. Think about that. Where does compromise lead? Right here. Puts us into a problem. A big problem. Now, the Bible does not give us any of David's thoughts or his plans. I'm going to give you some maybes. This is not scripture, so just some of my maybes. Maybe David planned to go fight, and maybe he just planned to protect the king. He thought, well, I'll just stay back. I won't get involved in all the action, so I won't actually have to be out there fighting. Maybe that's what his plan was. Maybe he planned or hoped God would deliver. And here's the third one. Maybe David didn't know what to do. I think that's where I would have been. You know, sometimes we get to that point in our life where we just got to throw our hands up and say, God, help. I don't know what to do. I've made a mess of things. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. I look back, I know it's wrong now. Please, just help me. I don't know what to do. And that may have been where David was. He just didn't know what to do. He couldn't get out of it. He was stuck. Now notice how God delivered him. And this is the last thing I want to share with you here this morning. The Bible says in verse 3, then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me this day. Real quick, notice the princes of the Philistines, they got a problem with this. Rightly so. I mean, here's David. They knew David. As they talk about here in a minute, they talk about his great ability to fight. David was a known warrior, not just in Israel, but in the lands throughout, even by now. David was a man who'd already conquered their great hero, Goliath. David was a man who went out and conquered many of their armies, and the Israelites had sung songs about him. Notice the Bible says that here. It says in verse 4, and the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him go down with us into battle. Or it says, let him not go down unto us into battle. Notice verse 5, is not this David of whom they sung one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s? So these Philistines knew this man. They knew David. They knew he was a great warrior. They knew he was a, probably in their minds, they knew he was a dedicated Israelite, and they're saying, what's he doing on our side? You know, I imagine, I would probably think, he's up to something. Something's not right here. You know, that's what happens when you compromise. You find yourself where you shouldn't be. And even the world, sometimes, you know, here's what's sad. Even the world can see you're out of your place. And that's what happened here with David. He had compromised to the point where even the world knew he didn't belong there. He shouldn't be here. What's he doing here? You know, as believers, we can get to that point. You know, it's a shame as believers when someone from the world has to point out that we're in the wrong place. When someone in the world has to look and say, well, aren't you a Christian? Yeah, I am. Then we know the guilt comes in. I shouldn't be saying that or acting like that, or I shouldn't be here. See, David was in the wrong place, and even the world saw it. He didn't see it or just was ignoring it. But that's what compromise will do. And David, here, the world said, get rid of him. We don't even want him with us. He's dangerous to us. Now, here's something else. Notice Achish. And here's where we find, how I guess, the extent of David's compromise. Achish stood up for David here in verse 3. And he says here, in verse 3. He says, David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me this day. Notice here with David. Now, I guess to his credit, he had done nothing too bad, I guess. But at the same time, this worldly king says, hey, he's my buddy. He's a good guy. He can stick around. He'll do what we tell him. You know, David evidently had acted exactly the way the Philistine king expected him to act. He acted like the world. He was no different than the world. He didn't act like an Israelite. He didn't act like a person that belonged to the Lord. And that's the extent of his compromise. Well, the Bible tells us that they got rid of him. It says in verse 6, then Achish called David and said to him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming of me and the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of coming unto me. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. Here's David's deliverance. You know, God works in some strange ways. And God sometimes will not work until the last minute. Now think of David. I don't know what was going through his mind, but we know he couldn't fight against Israel and eventually be the king of Israel. It just wasn't going to happen. He had no way out. He couldn't escape. He was stuck. God delivered David. David didn't get out of this on his own. God delivered him. And he was delivered by the uneasiness of his enemies. Think about that. David wasn't slain. David wasn't thrown into prison. David was released. He was able to go. God protected him, even in his mistakes. You know, God has power this morning to work in the hearts of men and women for our good. He's still the same God. God can still bless you at your workplace. God can still bless you in your personal life, your career, your spiritual life. And he can do it through unlikely sources if he would choose to. You see, God can still work in the hearts of people to be a blessing unto us. Now, David had placed himself in this position. God allowed him to go, obviously, but David put himself there. And though he made his mistakes, I want to point this out, he never actually opposed God or threw up a rebellion against God. He compromised. That's the lesson here. One mistake can lead to a big problem is the lesson. That's the warning. You don't have to, as believers, we don't have to go out tomorrow and just oppose God and fight against God to get into trouble. As believers, we can just go and make one poor decision. And next thing you know, we have to make another poor decision to cover up that poor decision. And next thing you know, like David, we can be in a big mess. So that's the warning. Beware of compromise. David was delivered because God was gracious. That's what it comes down to. God very easily, now, I know he didn't. God promised him to be king, so God was going to keep his word. But God could have easily just replaced him. God could have moved on, but God was gracious and God was merciful to David. And some would say, well, this just gives us license to go do what we want to do. No, it doesn't. And here's why I don't believe it does. Because David did pay the price for this. First, how about tragedy? In chapter 30, you know what we find? David returned home. But you know what happened when he was gone out with the Philistine army? Another army came in and took his wife, his family. Not only his, but the other men. And the Bible tells us that they got back and the city was destroyed and their families were gone. They paid the price. Tragedy struck his home because of his compromise. Secondly, how about his testimony? Think of David. He was called to be the next king. King Saul would die in this battle. He wouldn't make it through this. Jonathan would also perish, his son. One would think that David would immediately be exalted to the throne. He was anointed, he was called, many in the nation knew this. Yet, it took several years for this to happen. I can't help but think that some of it was due to his testimony. You know, there were several that at first didn't want David to be king. And immediately, I do know some of it was pride. I know some you know, were going against God. But I imagine, you know, if I put myself in Israel, I imagine many of them may have thought, well, is this truly God's man? He's just been sitting over with the Philistines. He's about ready to go to war with us. He's not even living in the land. Now he comes back and he wants to be our king. You see, David marred his testimony is what he did. And I believe that it probably took a little bit of time for people to realize and recognize that he was God's man. So when we compromise, the lesson here is when we compromise, we can get ourselves not only into trouble, but we can ruin our testimony. You see, it just takes a moment to ruin your testimony, whether at work, with family, with friends. Just one poor decision can ruin a testimony that you've had for years, and it may cost you years to get that testimony back. And in some cases, it may never happen because of the sin or the mistake. And so David here, I think, paid the price for his compromise. You know, compromise is dangerous because of where it leads, basically. It leads us to the world and its ways. David ran to the world, followed the ways of the world. Compromise will take us down paths we should never go down. That's what happened with David. He should have never even thought about opposing the armies of Israel as far as going against them in battle and against the king. Also, compromise will align us with people we should never associate with. Now, we should be witnesses in this world, but I tell you what, there are some people we should not have associations with. That's what happened with David. Here he is now with the king of the Philistines and all the other Philistine leaders hanging out. Compromise is dangerous because it'll lead us into trouble. And like David, I think the only way out will be seeking God's grace and God's mercy. Now, in closing, I want to close with this. Let's not compromise. That would solve the problem. I know it's an easy thought, but it's the truth. Had David, we go all the way back to the beginning of this message, had David just put his trust in the Lord, said, I don't know how you're going to lead God, I don't know where you're going to take me, I don't know how you're going to protect me, but Lord, will you just take care of it? If he had just done that and waited, we wouldn't be preaching this message this morning. We wouldn't have this warning. We'd have it from somewhere else probably, but not from David and his life. So it goes back to his choice. You know, the best way to avoid the problems of compromise is not to compromise to begin with. This morning, beware of compromise. Now, David's example, you know, sometimes we look at David and we have some examples to follow. This is not one of those. I don't encourage anyone to follow this example. We should learn from this example. We should learn and say, this is what we should not do. This is how we should handle it. But there is an example for us to follow. And that's the pattern that Christ has set. Let me give you some thoughts in closing on Jesus Christ. You realize our Savior never compromised. Never. We serve a wonderful Savior. A bold Savior. A courageous Savior. Jesus Christ never compromised. He never compromised while he was on earth. He was attacked not only by the religious leaders. Eventually he was put on the cross by the civil leaders of the country, of the Roman Empire. And not once did he compromise. Also, he was tempted throughout that entire time by the devil. We know he was taken out and tempted greatly on one occasion. He never compromised. He remained faithful. Let's follow that pattern of faithfulness and not compromising. Also, Jesus Christ did not compromise while he was on the cross. You know, this morning we should be thankful every day that Christ remained on that cross, that he didn't come off, that he made the atonement for sin. It's because of that we can be saved. Also, he didn't compromise when he paid the price. You know, I'll be the first one to tell you, I like looking for sales and deals. I don't think there's wrong with that. But you know, our Savior didn't pay just half the deal. He didn't say, I'm going to pay half of it and you have to pay the other half. I'm going to do part of the work and you got to finish it off. He paid the full price for sin. There was no compromise there. He took care of everything so that way we could be saved. Also this morning, Jesus Christ does not compromise in heaven today. We know he's at the right hand of the Father, and we know that he continues, according to the book of Hebrews, continues to go there on our behalf. You see, Jesus Christ stands before God the Father on your behalf. You're saved here this morning. He stands on your behalf. You can talk to God the Father because Jesus Christ is there. You can be blessed from God the Father because of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ has not compromised that today. It's not like he says, well, you know, just between these hours, I'm going to stand on your behalf. The rest of the time you're on your own. No, it is all the time. He does not compromise. Also, you think of this. He continues to provide for us so we can live a life that's pleasing to him. All we have to do is abide with him, and he'll provide that strength. So this morning, if you're without Christ, if there's someone here without Christ, I can tell you this, he's a Savior you can trust. He is. He will completely forgive you of your sin, give you a complete pardon because he paid for it, and he will give you power to live forever. Not just partial power, but power to live eternally. You see, you can trust in Christ because he's not going to let you down. He's not going to compromise. And for the believers this morning, if you belong to Christ, live for him. Be faithful. Look to him when you're troubled instead of trusting in your abilities or your reasoning. And I think if we do that, then like Christ, we won't compromise either. We'll stay faithful to the Lord and faithful to his word. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and for the blessings you've given to us. As we looked at this life of David, Lord, I pray that it reminds us of the importance of being faithful to you. I thank you for being there for us and providing the strength that is necessary for us to live a life that's pleasing to you. As we have this time of invitation, I pray that you'll guide and direct in it. If you've worked in anyone's heart here this morning, I pray that they'll get things settled with you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed here this morning. If God's worked in your heart in any way, we're just going to have a time of invitation. I encourage you to seek the Lord out as the piano begins to play here this morning. I don't know if God's worked in your heart in any way at all. Maybe there's one here this morning that's been tempted to compromise, whether it's at work, maybe in your personal life, maybe in your spiritual life. You've been tempted to cut the things of the Lord short so that way you could do something else. Whatever it is, if God has worked in your heart here this morning, I encourage you to seek him out. Make some commitments maybe this morning that you're going to remain faithful. Or that if there are some areas that have slipped, you're going to get those right and get back to God. Be faithful to the Lord. Maybe like David, you have compromised. I don't know. Maybe you've compromised and you're in a position now where you just don't know what to do. I encourage you to seek the Lord. Bible tells us we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He'll forgive you, he'll bless you, and he'll guide you through whatever the problem may be.